It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. This weekend, we have Calaveras County CEO Teresa Hitchcock in studio with us. It's been a busy period for county government with the new fiscal year budget, also the GAN fire recovery efforts underway. CEO Hitchcock, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having us on. I really appreciate it.
So first off, the GAN fire, it's now fully contained after igniting back on August 3rd. What's the county doing in relation to the recovery efforts and those type of things for the people impacted?
So it was a little harrowing. As you know, the GAN fire was a fairly large event. I'm really impressed with the emergency response that we got, especially from our sheriff's office. As you know, we moved OES to the sheriff's office last year, and I have to say that this was probably the most organized, efficient response to a large-scale event that I've seen since I've been in the county. So it was really, you know, for the magnitude of the event, it was very good the way the sheriff's office got so many different resources in to help us. I have to give a shout out to our local fire districts who were very involved in holding off the fire until CAL FIRE could mobilize resources to get in and fully contain it. Right now in the recovery phase, yesterday we had a community resources event, which is where we pull in every type of resource that we can find in order to support people who've been affected. As you know, we did lose a number of homes, which is tragic for the people who lived in that area. And so trying to get resources in order to assist them with finding, housing and finding, they lost everything, you know, all their possessions, and trying to help them rebuild their lives. So we had a community resources fair yesterday, and if anyone has any need of anything, I would invite them to reach out to the county for us to put them in touch with whatever resources they need in order to help them. We will be looking at doing some debris removal, and there's other resources coming in from Cal OES. The state's been super helpful through this process, so we're looking at how we can get things back to normal as quickly as possible, although this is probably going to be a fairly long-term recovery process because it was a pretty big event.
You mentioned you were impressed with how the various different teams and people worked together to fight the fire?
It was amazing, actually, from the evacuation process. Our sheriff's office actually went door to door in the most heavily affected areas in order to notify people to evacuate, just to make sure that they got the information that they needed to get out safely and quickly. And with that, I'd like to encourage everyone, go on our website. I know a lot of people have watch duty, and that's great, and I would encourage everyone to sign up for watch duty on their phone. But I would also encourage everyone, in Calaveras County we use Genesis. Go on our website, sign up for Genesis for evacuation warnings. It's a pretty easy process. You just put in your address, and then anytime there's an event, it will tell you whether or not you need to evacuate. I don't know what they use in Tuolumne County, but I'm sure if you go on the Tuolumne County website that you would find a similar product that would help notify you in the event of a large-scale event. It's really important to get those notifications early so that you can pack up whatever you need and get out. The other thing I would say is if a sheriff's deputy shows up at your front door knocking and telling you it's time to evacuate, please evacuate. It's these things, it may seem like it's far away, but fires can move really rapidly, and it can move at a rate of speed where you don't have time to get out if you don't evacuate when the evacuation warnings come out. So I just would encourage people to evacuate and be safe and protect themselves and their pets and their loved ones.
Yeah, use extreme caution. Always plan ahead for those type of events so we can have any time here in the foothills.
Exactly.
And then, so you mentioned there's going to be some cleanup efforts. That's going to be a big project for the county. After that, will it be kind of the rebuilding process?
After that, it'll be the rebuilding process. I know that we have filed a state of emergency, and we were granted that at both the state and, I believe, the federal level at this time, which brings in some additional resources for the homeowners who lost homes. There should be some low-interest loans and some other supports available for them. Again, if they have any questions, they should contact the county, and we'll get them in contact with whoever they need in order to obtain those resources.
Yeah, if they couldn't go to that specific event that took place on the Thursday, what's the best way moving forward for people to reach out to the county?
So we do have an OES number on the website, okay. And so I would recommend that they call that, and then they will make sure that they get them in touch with whatever area they're looking for, because honestly, in this type of situation, people have a broad range of needs. So one department probably isn't going to fulfill every need that someone has.
Before we get into other matters related to county government, anything else on the GAN fire I didn't ask about that you'd like to note?
No, we're just glad that it's over. It was very impactful. It's tragic that these things happen, but again, just I encourage everyone to sign up for those evacuation notices so that we can make sure that everybody's safe.
So moving into this is kind of the time of the year when you have a new budget, and the new budget year started on July 1st. So how are the revenues looking this year for Calaveras County when it came to that new budget?
So revenues are pretty flat. That's really the problem, is that most revenues came in, other than property tax, which had a slight uptick. Most revenues came in flat, which doesn't sound like it's that bad, right? Except that, as everyone knows, we've had a lot of inflationary pressures over the last couple years. So things have, costs have escalated. Some of the things that we're seeing, just like everybody, is health insurance costs have gone up. We've seen an uptick in our PERS costs. So there's a number of very expensive things that have gone up, which when revenues are flat means that budgets are tighter, because you're trying to budget for those things that you have to budget for with the same amount of money, even though those things are way more costly. We've seen escalation also in IT costs, just other things that are beyond the county's control. And so it's resulted in making cutbacks on services. So it's a tough budget year, and we're hopeful that we'll see some revenue growth over the next couple of years, but we do expect next year to be challenging as well.
What are the different streams of revenue that Calaveras receives for its budget?
So we receive a lot of different revenue streams. We receive money from the federal government for a lot of different programs, but what people need to understand is roughly three-quarters of our budget is set in stone. Like, we receive money from the federal government for specific purposes. You can only use the money for those purposes. You can't reprogram it for anything else. That's what you have to use it for. So discretionary revenues are largely based on property tax, sales tax. We do have Measure G funding, which is a cannabis tax, and some other revenues that are general fund revenues, TOT. There's been a lot of talk about TOT recently, which is our transient occupancy tax. That's the hotel tax for people coming in, tourists. Those things are discretionary. That money is relatively sparse. We don't have a lot of it. We do have things that we're required to fund with it. Like, the sheriff's department is largely funded by discretionary revenue from those sources. The district attorney's office. So we have some very expensive things that we fund with those discretionary dollars, leaving even fewer discretionary dollars for other things. So it's...
And then the TOT, how is that dispersed in Calaveras County to different entities?
So the transient occupancy tax is actually a general tax, so it could go to any service that we have. Traditionally, that has been split between the sheriff's office, our fire districts, our roads department, and the Calaveras Visitors Bureau. The rationale on that, the reason the board originally did it that way was because those are things that support tourists when they're here, right? So that tourists drive on our roads. The Visitors Bureau does a lot of advertising for us to bring tourists in, which is helps with sales tax and other taxes as well. And then, of course, just having that emergency response available for folks to make sure that they're safe while they're here. So the board had some rationale to that. Now the board has looked at how those dollars are allocated and made some changes in the allocation this year just based on where we're at with discretionary revenues.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with Teresa Hitchcock, who is the CEO of Calaveras County Government, on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our second segment in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're getting an update on Calaveras County Government on this weekend show, joined in studio by Teresa Hitchcock, who is the CEO of Calaveras County. And CEO Hitchcock, we've been talking about the new budget for Calaveras County. What are some of the infrastructure projects that are going to be funded this year?
So we have a lot of infrastructure projects going on. We have a new behavioral health building that's being built. That was built through a grant from the state of California. I know those are always the questions we get from the public, right? Why are you building that building and not something else? Well, we did get a grant that funded that building 100%. That's how that building's being constructed. I think it's going to be a great asset for our folks who need behavioral health services because we're moving all of our teams into one building. That particular department had folks in different locations throughout the county, which makes accessing services difficult because a lot of times people are confused over which facility they should go to for service. So bringing everyone into one building makes sense. And I think it's going to add a level of efficiency to behavioral services for folks who need to access those services. So we're really excited about that project. It's underway right now. The building looks huge to us. I don't think we've ever built a building that big, but it's going to be very nice when it's completed. The other thing we have coming up is we're building a new facility for our district attorney. Right now, they're in some modular buildings on our campus, and those buildings are fairly old, and the space isn't really sufficient for the district attorney. So we're building a brand new building for our district attorney. It will be essentially in the center of our campus where there was the sheriff's facility was before, but that was torn down when we built the new sheriff's facility and jail. So I think the district attorney is really excited about that, to get a new modern building in order to house their legal staff. And then also they'll have victims, the victim services there. So that'll be good as well. And then the other building, I think the one that I'm most excited about, is we have a dilapidated old animal services facility. It's a number of different buildings, modular buildings, regular buildings. It's just kind of a hodgepodge of things that have been cobbled together in order to house animals within the county. We are building a brand new animal services facility, state of the art. And that building is more expensive just because of what it needs to be. Animal services buildings, they need to be like part jail facility because they need to be secure. They need to keep the animals separated because sometimes you might have a dog that's not really good at getting along with other dogs. So you want to make sure they're not close together. And then it has to have a medical facility because we do take in a lot of sick animals. A lot of times when we do seizures, it's because the animals haven't been properly taken care of and they need a lot of medical attention. And then just better kennel space and an outdoor play yard. And so I think it's going to be really good for the animals in Calaveras County. I know it's definitely going to be a better space for our staff to work. People who work in animal services tend to be people who really care deeply about the animals, and it's difficult for them, I think, to work in a facility that isn't, you know, cheerful and bright and has that feel of more of a pet store than animal facility. So I think that's going to be an exciting project. We did have to go out for lease financing for that, which I think was the right thing to do. So more on that to come.
And then the DA facility, how is funding coming for that
so project? That funding, we originally had some ARPA funding, but we ended up paying for other services and then put general fund back into our county capital in order to fund it. And then we have a judicial construction fund that's being put towards that. So that building's fully funded with those sources at this time.
And you expect construction on all three of those this year?
So we already started the behavioral health. It's supposed to be done in the summer of 2027. We're going to be starting the DA building, and it should be done towards the end of 2027. And then the animal services building will be done towards the end of 2028. So lots of construction in a very small space. Right now we're trying to look at the logistics of it. Where do we park all this construction equipment and all these people who are on our campus right now? But it's good for San Andreas because a lot of construction workers mean businesses have more people going to lunch, more people buying groceries, more people, you know, buying gas. So I think it's going to be good for the local economy right there as well.
Absolutely. Is there a kind of a projected price tag for those different buildings?
There is. So the behavioral health building is sitting right around $18 million right now. Our grant is for $20 million. So we do have a little bit of wiggle room for contingencies or things that happen in there. The DA building is going to be right around $6 million all in. That's for plans, specs, and construction. And then animal services, we haven't gone out. We don't have construction we have construction documents, but we haven't gotten our construction estimate from our construction manager yet. But our architect's estimate was right around $12 million. So we're thinking probably somewhere between $12 to $14 million for that building.
You know, speaking of construction, housing in Calaveras County, are you seeing any type of movement at all when it comes to new housing projects?
So it's my understanding from our building department that building permits are picking up, which is always a good thing. So we are seeing some more construction. We're also, of course, Angels Camp, which is our only incorporated city, has broken ground on their 108-unit habitat project. So that's really exciting because that's affordable housing for folks who live in Calaveras County. And then we're partnering with Habitat. The county had some funding through a grant that they're going to build another residential unit in the county that's affordable housing. So we're looking at ways to get more affordable housing, but then we also have just like market rate housing. Those permits have picked up as well.
You mentioned with revenues being flat, you had to make some cuts to the budget this year. Is economic development one of these areas that's kind of being phased out?
Yeah, so unfortunately, when you have budgets that are tight, the things that you look at first are the things that you're not mandated to provide, right? What aren't we required to do? So we did some cuts to that people weren't happy about, understandably, but economic development was one of those things where we ended up cutting that entire program.
What were some of the other areas you had to make cuts in?
So another area that folks weren't happy about was archives. We ended up cutting our archives. It's not open. We're still storing the records. So I think that was another misconception. People thought because we were closing the facility to the public except by appointment, that meant that we were going to get rid of records, which wasn't the case at all. The records are still there. And actually, we're looking at during this time, because our clerk has some funding that she can use for digitizing, we're looking at actually digitizing more of the records so that folks have access online so they could access them from their home or, you know, anywhere else. So trying to provide greater access to those historical records that way.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Calavera CEO Teresa Hitchcock on this weekend show. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
On this weekend's Motherload Views, we're joined in studio by Calavera CEO Teresa Hitchcock. We're talking about the new budget, also the GAN fire, and various other matters related to Calaveras County government. CEO Hitchcock, at the most recent Board of Supervisors meeting, there was a discussion about data centers and the construction of those in the county, and it looks like the county is moving towards a moratorium. So can you tell us about that and some of the concerns that were brought up?
So I think the board wants to do an urgency ordinance. We're going to bring one forward. That was the direction we were given, is to bring an urgency ordinance forward to put a moratorium on data centers while we can better analyze what the impacts would be. As you know, data centers use a lot of electricity. We don't have the most stable grid in Calaveras County. There's lots of power outages. So what would that sort of power drain on the system do for our residents and other businesses that rely on the power grid in order to maintain themselves? The other issue for us is the amount of water that data centers use. And I know everybody thinks, oh, wow, we have a lot of water. While that may be true, as folks know, water is very expensive up here. And what would that do as far as having that much water used, again, for our residents, ranchers, and other folks who rely on water for other purposes? So we're going to do a pretty thorough analysis to see whether or not those types of activities are a fit. I think, you know, our initial look at it is it's probably not a good fit for our county, but we do need to go through the process to really look at it. And then once that happens, depending on the outcome, then we would bring back, either the urgency ordinance would be lifted or we would bring back a permanent ordinance to ban data centers within the county. So more to come on that. There's going to be a little bit of study involved in that in order to make sure that we're making the right decision. We just want to make sure that we are not impacting folks who are here and the resources that they need in order to both live and operate their businesses.
Are you able to say more about what kind of led to it? Was it just kind of to be very preemptive, or were you starting to hear about maybe there might be some interest in Calaveras County?
We have not had any interest in Calaveras County, but we do know our neighbors in Amador County are currently having a data center constructed there. So with having one that close to our border, it does lead you to believe that it's not out of the realm of possibility that someone could come in tomorrow and want a permit, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the board, in an abundance of caution, even though, again, no data centers have put in any applications, we've not talked to any data centers, but we just want to make sure that we're doing the right thing for our residents.
I know there was also a big discussion about fire services at the most recent meeting. Can you kind of give us a little bit of a recap of that issue and what was discussed?
Yeah, so it's interesting the way fire service is done in Calaveras County. We do not have a county fire department. We have 9 independent fire districts. They're all governed by their own board. They all have their own funding resources. So they all get some form of property tax. Of course, they got most recently the Measure A sales tax. They get state reimbursements. There's a number of funding sources for each fire department. The idea for special districts is that they're independent of the county. We don't have any control over their budgets. We don't tell them what to do. They're totally autonomous. We have been providing some level of funding to the fire districts because prior to Measure A, they were very financially strapped and struggling. And so it was the right thing to do to provide some level of funding support to those districts. They are extremely important to our county. I don't want to minimize that because they do provide fire services, and that is, as you know, kind of a critical service in our area. But with Measure A, they are very well funded. Most of them are growing reserves and have a very robust funding for their districts. Most of them. There's a couple that are still struggling. But so with that, when the board sees that they're very healthy, their funding sources are going up, and if we saw that even with any departments, then we would typically cut general fund discretionary dollars. If the sheriff's department suddenly got some funding source that, you know, just bolstered their funding by double, we would probably reduce the amount of general fund that we were giving to them. So that's what happened. Of course, the fire districts are not happy about it. You know, we're working with them and the board's looking at it. And if we have any ability to move money around, I'm sure the board will do that. But right now we were cutting real services. You know, we had real layoffs. We did close departments, like you mentioned, economic development earlier. We closed the archives. We've laid off employees. So we've had real impacts to county services. That the cut that was made to fire won't really have. So it's a tough decision, and I know the public oftentimes doesn't understand it, but it's looking at things holistically and in totality. And if anybody's curious about it, we did do a very extensive presentation at the last board meeting on some of the things that factored into that decision.
And then your meetings are Tuesdays, twice a month?
They are. The second and fourth Tuesday every month. And our budget meeting is always the first Tuesday in June. That's the meeting where we discuss kind of what's being proposed, if there's any service reductions. And that's a meeting that I would encourage members of the public to attend, because if there's something that you really believe in or really think should be funded, that's the meeting to come to talk about it. And then the first meeting in September is kind of a secondary opportunity to do that. So the first meeting in September, which is the second Tuesday. So I don't want people to think it's the first Tuesday. It's the second Tuesday in September is our first meeting in September. And at that meeting, we'll be having additional budget discussions for our final budget that we will pass at the last meeting in September.
Have there been any recent changes when it comes to like department heads or anything like that at county government?
So I'm happy to say that we're really stable right now. We have a good group of department heads, a lot of experience. Things seem to be doing very well in that way. So I'm really fortunate, especially as you're going into tougher times. It helps to have that level of experience because those folks have seen tough times before. They kind of know where to pull back, what's important, and how to really rebalance their workload. So we're very fortunate.
Well, we've come to the end of this weekend's Motherload Views. Any closing comments you'd like to make?
just, you know, at our last board meeting, we had quite a bit of public participation. It was really nice to see that because public participation is really a cornerstone in government. If you're unhappy about what we're doing, please come to the meetings. Please let us know. I think the board's always interested to hear what the public has to say. We look at things from strictly fact-based, you know, where that's what we do. But a lot of times the public may have other input. So I encourage people to participate, whether they live in Tuolumne or Calaveras. You know, go to your local board meetings and make sure your feelings are known.
Well, Teresa Hitchcock, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you.
And I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.